We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Lesuda, Halacha Dalet, in the middle of paragraph Zayin. So Rav Nosson Zal had just shown us how in Parshas Pinchas, it starts off talking about the act of Pinchas and his tefillah, which was an example of that extraordinary tefillah bevechinas din that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in chapter 8 in Likutei Moran Tanina. And then, right after that, we find a listing of the names of all the Shvatim and their children, and Hashem putting his insignia on their names, Hashem adding his initials, Kaviyachol, Hachamechi Hapalui, the Yud-Kei, on each one of the names. So Rav Nosson Zal said that that's an example of Shemus HaTzadikim. We see that the Torah is showing us the kesher between the tefillah bebechinas din and the shemois hatzadikim, that both of them are similar type of weapons. Both of them activate this emunas chiddush olam, the chiddush olam shel osid, the shinui teva. V'arkein matoiv v'yofe smichas parshazu le'inyan pinchas ben elazar. And now you can understand how incredibly good and clear it is why these two are written next to each other. Why this parsha of listing all the names and the shvatim and everything is written near the story with Pinchas. Shehu ha-bal koyach she-spal el tefillah bebechinas din. He was an example of one of these great tzaddikim with power who gave forth a tefillah bebechinas din. Shemimenu nimshach koyach shel tzaddikim, which is the source. That's the generator which feeds all the other tzaddikim. All the tzaddikim throughout the world who have their Talmidim and teach their Talmidim, and we said that each one of those tzaddikim has a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh, which leads to giving him the ability to shine Emunah into his Talmidim, Emunah Tzchidosh Olam, which leads to the Chiddush Olam of the future, etc. All of those tzaddikim are plugged into the tzaddik, who is the Baal Koyach, who has the ability to give a tefillah of Bechinas Din. When he gives one of those lightning bolts, that lightning bolt feeds all the other tzaddikim, and it activates their Ruach HaKodesh, and it activates this whole chain of events that we spoke about here. This is why this item of mentioning the names of the tzaddikim is so effective. V'ato ma'yofe afnoim shenismach tekev lozeh parshas Yerusha Eretz Yisrael. And now you can understand also why the next topic in the Chumash right after that is the Jews conquering Eretz Yisrael, coming into Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Yidden that it's time for me to leave, and the Yidden are now about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Kama shekoso shom, as it says right there, lo'ele techole koretz benachlo b'mispar shemois l'shmois matos avosim incholo. It says over there that to these, this list of names we just gave, they are the ones to whom the land will be divided up based on their names, the mispar shemois, based on the count of names, lishmois matois avoisam, based on the names of the tribes that are tied into their fathers, yinchol uvein heri. Ki kol abchinois sanal imchinas Eretz Yisrael. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, all of this that we'll be discussing now was an aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Because remember, Eretz Yisrael is synonymous with miracles. Eretz Yisrael is the land, tomid enei Hashem alokecha bo, right? Eretz Yisrael is the land that has the eyes of Hashem on him. Eretz Yisrael is the land of Chutz Miderach HaTeva. So it's tied into the Shemus HaTzadikim, which is also Chutz Miderach HaTeva. And it's tied into the act of Pinchas, that Tefillah Bebechinas Din, which triggers off this whole chain reaction. Ki Chiddush Olam Shel Osid, Shezoich Na'idei Kol Anal, Hu Bebechinas Eretz Yisrael Kanal. Because the Chiddush Olam that's going to be in the future, which one is zeichet to through the whole chain of events that we spoke about, is all an aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Because that's what Eretz Yisrael is all about. V'hovein heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, understand this very well. This is a very serious point. V'zeh, and this is why the pasuk says, lo'ela techole koretz benachlo b'mispar shemois. To these people, you should divide up the land based on the count of their names. B'mispar shemois daika. Rav Nosson says, why did the pasuk write that? Based on the count of their names. L'shmois matos avosim daika. And the pasuk says afterwards, based on the names of their tribes. Hainu bechinas shemois tzadikim. The Chumash is being meramis to this concept of shemois tzadikim. Shal yodom nizbarer hamedame, that by a Jew reciting shemois tzadikim, he activates the power of the tzadikim, which is one of their main powers is birur hamedame, to have that ability to think clearly, to see things in a clear way. V'zeichen le'emuna, v'ydezeh zeichen le'chidesh olim shalosit, shubchin aseret Yisrael kanal, v'hovein heitev. A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, and Rav Nosson Zal says and understand this very, very well. And now Rav Nosson Zal writes paragraph Ches. V'al kein, ein chayov meditilo sidayim, kiim al pas, shenavochon alav, hamoit si yubrich zamozayim. This is why you're only obligated to wash your hands if you're eating a type of bread which requires hamoitzi and birchas hamozayim, or a quantity of bread or cake which requires hamoitzi and birchas hamozayim. Now, netilas yadayim goes together with hamoitzi and birchas hamozayim. For example, if a person eats 3 kilo of cake, he has to wash on it and he has to make hamoitzi and bench. Or if a person eats 1 slice of bread, let's say, you know, which is a shear of a kazayas, you know, he has to wash and hamoitzi and bench. So the only stuff that you wash for is hamoitzi birchas hamozayim stuff. V'hamoitzi birchas hamozayim ein mevorchen ela al chamesh esaminim shenishtapcho ben eretz Yisrael. And hamoitzi you only make on the 5 types of grain which Eretz Yisrael is known for. Eretz chita, se'ira, you know, etc., etc. That's the Shiva meaning, but within in Chita Seira are what tickle of it, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt, which are the Chameshis Minidogon. She'ikar mitzvahs birchas hamozayim hu rak levorcha yisparach al shenosan l'aretz Yisrael. Because we know that the essence of birchas hamozayim is thanking Hashem for giving us Eretz Yisrael. That's what the majority of birchas hamozayim is all about. Kama shekosov, as it says, v'yochalto you will eat, v'savoto you will be full, uveirachas Hashem lakecha, you'll bless Hashem. You'll bless Hashem for what? Al ha'aretz ha'toyv Hashem asan lo. You'll bless Him for the wonderful land that He gave you. That's the point. Ki ikar kedushas u'achilo hu'alidei Eretz Yisrael. Because the main concept of achilo d'kedusha, of eating with holiness, with spirituality, is tied into Eretz Yisrael. Shehu b'chinas chidesh olam shalosid. Eretz Yisrael is symbolic of the chidesh olam of the future. Shaydezeh nimshach hanigin shalosid, which is what brings the song of the future. Shaydezeh zochin shetiyah achil b'chinas mzonei d'nishmoso kanal, whereby through that a person is zochin that their eating should be a concept of soul food, mzonei d'nishmoso. And that's the main reason for washing your hands. Washing your hands, we said, remember before in the beginning, water is that das, and the keli sholem is the emunah, and all tied into this chidush olam. And that's why the mitzvah of netilas yodayim is tied into only those foods for which you would say berachas hamozayim, which is tied into Eretz Yisrael. That's the kesher there. Netilas yodayim is plugged into hamoitzi berachas hamozayim, which is plugged into Eretz Yisrael. Ki ikar netilas yodayim lahamshich b'chinas Eretz Yisrael ayidei meimei hadas. Because one of the main reasons for washing one's hands is to be zeichet to draw the meimei hadas, the waters of das, which is the concept of Eretz Yisrael, through which a person is zeichet to this nigun shelosid lovoi, through which he's zeichet to that his eating should be a spiritual eating. Mizonei d'nishmaso. Rav Nosson Zal says, v'oid yesh bozeh kama dvorim. I still have a lot to say about this. Hashem yizakenu lahamshich emuna shleima boilam. Hashem should give us the schus to help draw solid emuna into the world. To v'noshuv l'Eretz Yisrael b'mheri b'min, and we should be zochah to return to Eretz Yisrael soon, quickly, in our time. V'yikuyam, and it should be fulfilled. Tovoi toshuri meiroi shamona. We will be zochah to come and see Hashem kaviyochol. See and sing Toshuri is to see and to sing. Meiroi Shamono through a heightening of Emuna. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. The next piece is going to be an appendix to what we learned so far. Paragraph Tes. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein heim chameshes haminim. Based on what we've discussed till now, you could understand why Hashem made it that there are exactly five types of grain, where the halacha is that if you eat bread made from these five grains, you wash your hands before it, and you make hamoitzi, and you say berachas hamozein on it. Specifically, five types of grain. Keneged hey da hashishi, corresponding to the letter hey of the word yoim hashishi vayichudu hashmoyim voritz, which in the Chumash, that hey is emphasized in a very big way. The Gemara says, when Hashem created the world, during the first 5 days of creation, it says, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i, Yom Chamishi. When it comes to the sixth day, it says, Yom Hashishi, the sixth day. The Gemara says, why that hey? And it gives a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that this is alluding to another sixth day, the sixth day of the month of Sivan, 2,448 years later, when Hashem would give the Torah to the Jewish people. That's when the world was really completed. In other words, it says, Yom HaShishi Vayichulu HaShemayim Voretz. On the sixth day, Hashem completed heaven and earth. Normally, we assume that to mean on the sixth day of creation, right? But the Gemara says, that's not really when the world was finished, because until Hashem gave the Torah publicly, the world was still on very shaky ground. It was when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, which was also on a sixth day. Which sixth day? The sixth day. The sixth day of the month of Sivan. That's when heaven and earth were really fixed in place. That's when they really became established permanently. So now Rav Moshe Zal says, we can tie in the concept of the five types of grains, which we wash our hands for, which we do netilat yadayim lesuda for, we could tie it into that hay of hashishi, which Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in that chapter on the Likutei Moran also. Shekol hoyolam hoyotluya ad shishi besivon shekibli Yisrael es haTorah. We know that the entire world was sort of in suspense, you know, and not fixed, until the sixth day of Sivan, when the Jews received the Torah. Shehi bechinas nevuah. The Torah is a concept of prophecy, because the Ten Commandments, which were given on Shishi b'Sivan, correspond to the 10 levels of prophecy it's brought. Shaydezeh nizgale chidish oilam. And that's what, and when Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, that was a revelation of chidish oilam. Because whenever there is a revelation of major miracles, that substantiates the fact that Hashem was capable of creating the world, something from nothing. Understand what makes that hard to believe is that it's unusual. It would have to be a miracle. So every time Hashem performs miracles, it strengthens our emuna in Chiddush Olam also. So Rav Nosson Zal says, "Shehi b'chinas nevuah, shai deizeh nizgal l'chiddush olam, kemevuah b'Torah." Now, as is explained in the chapter in Likutei Moran that we're dealing with, nimtzo shehei dehashishi moira l'chiddush olam. So therefore, the letter hey of the word hashishi, which is alluding to the sixth day of Sivan, Kabbalas haTorah, which is when prophecy was shown so brightly, is tied into the concept of chiddush olam. Umishon Iker Kedusha Seret Israel Shina Kabelas Kedusha Saide Koyach Masavide Sheyoidin Shashmiz Bora Boris Oilam. And that's where Eretz Israel draws its holiness from also. It draws it from this Emunah in Chiddush Oilam, that we know that Hashem created the world. Bechinas Bereshis Bora, Kamashikos Hashem Baturnal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes. And if Hashem created the world, then he has the right to give it to him every once. He has the right to give and take. He has the right to give a country to the Goyim and take it away from them and give it to the Jews. And it's from Eretz Yisrael, from Chiddush Olam,
which is revealed through that hay of Hashishi, that's from where these five grains draw their strength, draw their power. These five grains, which are the praise of Eretz Yisrael. They're the pride of Eretz Yisrael, in a sense. Ki hei minim keneged hei de Hashishi, shai deze ikar kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Because these five types of grains correspond to that letter hey of Hashishi, which emphasizes Matan Torah, which emphasizes Chiddush Olam, which emphasizes Eretz Yisrael, the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. All of these concepts are tied in. Shemishom mekablim ha'hei minim koicham lozun olazbiyas odom bebechinas mezoinah denishmosa. That's where these five types of grains draw this extraordinary power to satisfy a person, to give a person satiation, and to give the to serve as mezoinah denishmosa, to act as soul food. Shemishom ikar hasvio ha'amitis. And that's where the true satisfaction comes from. Satisfaction in terms of a person feeling satisfied from what he eats. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, tzadik oichel soivan avshoy. A tzadik eats to satiate his soul, not the body, not for body pleasures. V'alkein hei minin daiko yeshlem koyach lasbias odom. And this is why Hashem made it, that there are five types of grain that have the ability to satisfy a person, to give a person that kind of sviya, which justifies birchas hamozon. And etil tzedayim. Ki hei mekablam koyach mei Eretz Yisrael, mebechinas hei dashishi, mebechinas emuno chedesh oilom. Shemishom nimshach, mezoina denishmosa, shemishom ikra sviya. Because these five grains are plugged into Eretz Yisrael. They're plugged into Chiddush Olam. They're plugged into Mezoina Dinishmasa. And therefore, if they're soul food, that's why they're considered outstanding. That's why they have these extraordinary halachas. Birchas Hamozon, Netil Sidayim Lesuda. Ki b'mezoina degufo shubchinas achilas esov, achilo de sitra achro, ne'mar ubeten rishon tersa. Because those people who eat not for the sake of the soul, but they eat purely for the sake of the body, for pleasure, for taiva, their eating is a concept of the eating of Esav, the eating of the Sitrachra, about which the pasuk says, Ubeten Rishon Techser, that the stomach of a Rasha is always hungry. He never feels satisfied, he never has enough. Aval Mezoina Denishmoso, whereas a person who eats for the sake of the nefesh, for the soul, shom ikra hasviya. That's where the true satisfaction and satiation is. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, tzadik oichel lesoivan afshoy. A tzadik eats to the satiation of his soul. His soul does experience sviya. He is satisfying. Ki mezoina denishmoso hu bechinas hashem roi lo yechsor. Because a person who eats Bigdusha, Mizaina Dinishmasa, his eating is in the category of Hashem is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Loyechsa, not lacking in anything. Bechinas ki ein machsor li reyov. As the pasuk says, those who fear Hashem, they lack nothing. As Rabbeinu Zal quotes this pasuk, Hepech Mizaina Degufa, which is the opposite of Mizaina Degufa, Shubechinas achilas rishoim, which is the eating of the rishoim, who are in the category that their stomach is always, they always feel hungry, they're not satisfied. V'alkein, gam begashmias, ikar hasviya hu al yidei ha-chameshes haminim, shein ikar alechem shesoyed halev, shechayven alev ha-moitzi berichas ha-mozim. And this is why, on a physical level, Hashem created the world in such a way that these five grains have the ability to satisfy a person. When we talk about bread, which is the thing which gives a person the most feeling of being satisfied, it's bread specifically coming from these five grains, for which you're obligated to say Hamoitzi and Birchas Hamozim, Ki Heim Hei Minim, Sheim Shebach Eretz Yisrael, Sheim Shechem Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Because these five grains are the pride of Eretz Yisrael, which means they represent this concept of Chiddush Olam, which is where the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael comes from, shenizgar al yidei hei dehashishi, which was shown at the time of Matan Torah, which is symbolized by that letter hey of the word Hashishi, Asher Bishvil Zeh Heim Heim Minim Kanam. Therefore, we understand why it's specifically five grains, because this five ties into that hay of Hashishi, which is the symbol of Matan Torah, Chiddush HaOlam, Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, etc., etc. Vaydeze Shehim Bebchinas Eretz Yisrael, Vaydeze Him Bebchinas Mezoneh Den Shmos HaBiyoyser. And because these five grains symbolize Eretz Yisrael, therefore, they symbolize soul food, mezonah nishmoso. V'alkein ikar hasvi al yodom. And that's why the main concept of a person being satisfied comes through them. Now, by the way, today, once upon a time, this was very simple. Everybody felt this way. Today you have 6 billion doctors running around with all kinds of neurotic ideas. This one says, only proteins. Leave out carbohydrates, you'll be a healthy, normal human being. All the nuts running around are because they eat carbohydrates. The other one says the exact opposite. That on the contrary, those are the normal people, is those protein people that are nuts. This one says macrobiotic. This one, all of them have their own plans. Hashem, who created the world, runs the world, knows more about the world than any of these and all of these guys put together. Hashem says, the Gemara says, Pita Sado Libo, that bread is the thing that satisfies a person's heart. In other words, that bread is the foundation of a meal. It's the foundation of eating. When a person who's eating properly, bread is a very basic, important item. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have bread every time you eat. But it means that if you're hungry and you want to be satisfied in a positive way, in a constructive way, bread is the item. Versus sweets or cakes, you know, all kinds of, again, versus anything, all the different things. Each item has its koyach. V'ze b'chinas hei d'hamoitzi she'tzrichim lahatim hei d'hamoitzi k'mo she'zhiru razal. And this is the incredible importance of the letter He of the word Hamoitzi Lechem in Horetz, which the Gemara and Zohar HaKadosh say that when a person makes Hamoitzi, the person is supposed to emphasize that He of Hamoitzi. That's one of the most critical parts of the whole bracha. Hamoitzi Lechem in Horetz. And in the Zohar HaKadosh it talks about it, Ki hei da hamoitzi hu b'chinas hei da hashishi. Because Rav Nosson Zal is showing you how these are all tied together. They're all part of that same thing. One of the main things we want to achieve in eating is we want to be satisfied. I want to reach satisfaction. Satisfaction comes from Kiddusha. Holiness can satisfy. Unholiness can never satisfy. You'll never be satisfied. That's the whole symbol of a tzaddik versus a rasha. The tzaddik is the one who's always happy, always sad. The rasha is the one who, no matter how much he's always hungry, he's always desiring more, always, you know, this concept of mezoneh d'gufa versus mezoneh d'nishmosa, which is tied into das. The more das a person has, the more the person realizes that they're not lacking anything at all, which is tied into this emunah in chiddush olam, which is tied into Eretz Yisrael. All the different things we're mentioning here, they're all part of a certain track. So if a person's on that track, he's plugging into all the good things. If a person's on the other track, he's plugging into all the negative things. So this, the hay, the five types of grain, that hay, which we said is tied into the hay of Hashishi, now Rav Nosson Zal is saying it's tied into the hay of Hamoitzi, Hamoitzi Lech Menoretz. We said the hay of Hashishi symbolizes the newness of the new creation of the world, which is one of the main things that helps the eating bigdusha, soul food. Rav Nosson Zal says that in the Gemara there's a whole discussion whether the bracha should be Moitzi Lechem Min Haaretz or Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. And in the Gemara, one rabbi brings proof, hold on a second, there's a pasuk that says Moitzi such and such. So the other rabbi says, so what? There's another pasuk that says Hamoitzi Eschem Mitachas Tzivlos Mitzrayim. And there's a whole debate about it. The final psak is that it should be hamoitzi, the way we do it. So Rav Nosson Zal says, but look at this. Look at which pasuk the rabbi brought to prove his point. He wanted to find out what the bracha should be on bread, so he brought proof from a pasuk that says that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt. Hamoitzi es hamitachas elos Mitzrayim. Why? Ki be'emes kul achad, because this is all tied together. Ki pasuk hamoitzi es hamitachas elos Mitzrayim danu yitzias Mitzrayim humoire al chirish olam. Because the pasuk that tells us that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, that pasuk is also announcing that Hashem created the world. Ki b'sha'as yitzias Mitzrayim nizgale chidesh olam ayde ho'isas b'moitzim kimur b'chol asforim. Because when Hashem took the Jews out of Mitzrayim and he did that whole sound and light show, he did all the miracles that took place then, what did that tell the world? That told the world, hi guys, I'm Hashem, I created everything, and I'm running everything. And if it looks to you at times that things are in autopilot, forget it. There's a Hashem behind all of it, and Hashem created the world from nothing, and Hashem is running the world, you know, etc., etc. It was a new broadcast of Chiddush Olam. Gam ki ikar yitzias Mitzrayim hoiso b'shvil kabbalas ha-Torah. And we know in addition that one of the main objectives of taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim was to give us the Torah. As the pasuk says, kama shekosov bo hitziacho esom Mitzrayim tavdon esalakim al horazeh, that when the Jews are going to come out of Mitzrayim, they're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. What was Moshe Rabbeinu referring to? Har Sinai, where they were going to receive the Torah. The ikar hizgalas chiddush olam hoyadei kabbalas ha-Torah kanal. And we said before that one of the greatest broadcasts of chiddush olam was at the time of Matan Torah. Nimtzo sheposuk hamoitzi es hamitachas elos Mitzrayim moiral chiddush olam. So therefore, this posuk, which talks about Hashem taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim, is broadcasting the concept of chiddush olam. V'al kei misham lom durazal de heida hamoitzi. Shu ikar tikkun, shu mayra al chiddush olam, sheze ikar tikkun achila v'chinas mzayna den shmosah. That's why the Gemara learned out that the bracha should be hamoitzi lechem min haaretz from the pasuk hamoitzi es hamitachas elos Mitzrayim, because it's one thing. Yitzias Mitzrayim is for Matan Torah to get Eretz Yisrael, which are all chiddush olam, broadcasting chiddush olam. When a person believes in chiddush olam, that person eats like a tzaddik, it's tzaddik, not rasha. And he has this concept of sviya, he's satisfied with his eating. That's why the five grains tie into the hay of hamoitzi, tie into the hay of hashishi, tie into yitzias Mitzrayim. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph yud, v'zeh mashet tzrichen ledakdek levorech hamoitzi alechem sholei. This is why a religious Jew is supposed to try to say the hamoitzi on a whole bread, on a whole roll. This is not talking about Shabbos. This is talking about all the time. This is listen very carefully. V'yeshloi chashivus v'din kedimo lahasholem ala choser. And if you have two items of bread in front of you, one is a whole one, the other one is sliced, even if the sliced one tastes better, the preference, the priority, the bracha should be made on the whole one. Ki achilas Yisrael tzrichen lihiyos bebechinas mezayna denishmosa. Because a Jew's eating is supposed to be soul food. It's supposed to be he's supposed to emphasize the spiritual more than the physical. Shehu bechinas shleimus belichisorim. And soul food, spirituality, is a concept of something that's whole, something that's not lacking. We said before that by the Rosha it says, Beten Rishon Techsa, that the Rosha is always lacking. By the Tzaddik, Tzaddik Oichel Asoiva, the Tzaddik is always full, complete, whole. So now if you have a whole and a sliced in front of you, which is the Tzaddik, which is the Rosha? The Tzaddik is symbolized by the whole, the Sholem, Shlemus. Whereas Belichsorn, Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Hashem roi loyechsor. Hashem is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What does lack nothing mean? It's whole. I am whole. Hanema b'mezayna neshmosa. That pasuk is talking about the person who eats for spiritual value, for the soul. Bechinas ki ein machzor li'reiv. As we said before, those who have true fear of Hashem, they never feel that they're lacking in anything. V'alkein yesh chashivus lelechem sholem. And this is why the Torah gives priority to a whole item of bread rather than a sliced one or a half or that kind of thing. Ki hu samoch yoyser lebechinas mezoina denishmosa shu sholem b'lichasorim bechinas kein machzor li'reiv k'nami. Because when you look at a roll, let's say a roll, you know, or any item of bread, a lachmania that's whole, when you look at that, your eye is supposed to detect that's neshama. Something that's not whole, something that's incomplete, that's the body, that's the satan, that's the etzahara. Always lacking, always not complete. So what is, whereas when I see something that's whole, shlemus, that's kedusha. That's the neshama. Listen to this now. Listen to this. V'alkein be'emes b'nei pritzei amenu ha'holchem b'darcheim shelakum. And this is why you'll find that those Jews who have decided to assimilate, like they watch the goyim and they follow the styles of the goyim in everything, whether it be clothing, whether it be restaurant, whether it be eating, whether in whatever they do, they're always looking to see. They don't want to be different. They don't want to be shtetl Jews. They want to be part of the world. I want to be part of civilization. So what's civilization? One day civilization woke up and they decided sliced bread. You know, sliced bread, sliced it, this stuff. So the people who want to follow them, ein manichen lechem sholem lesuda, they do not put out chali rolls, like whole items at a meal, kiim prusois, but rather sliced bread. You know, sliced. Kedarke hoakum, following what the non-Jews do. Ki bechol tenuoseim heim roitzim laharois she'oikren atzma midas Yisroel. A person would look at that and say, what's the big deal? What does it matter? What kind of stupid thing is that? It makes a difference if I eat it, is it? And the person doesn't know that anything that the Jews do probably has a significance to it. It's not just because somebody's great-great-grandmother, Rachel Imenu, woke up one day and she had this bright idea of baking whole challah. That's how the Jews came to eat whole challahs. Baloney. Anything that the Jews do, anything that's customary by the Jews, you could bet your life that probably there's depth to it, there's significance to it, there's meaning to it. And here, Rav Nosson Zalman is just giving you one example. When you look at this example, and this should be enough to shut up all of those clowns, all of those people who have bright ideas about changing things that the religious Jews do, or that the very religious do, Jews do, to put all of those people in their place. Where a person looks at this, a person looks at a basket of sliced bread, and it looks, look how beautiful that, look how easy. Have to start sitting there with a knife, start slicing. So simply, grab two slices, you put a sausage in between, and you take a bite. What could be better? What's more normal than that? And the person doesn't know that there's a difference, that the difference between sliced versus whole is a difference between neshama versus body. It's a difference between tzaddik and rasha. That the whole one, a sholem, is the symbol of yiras Hashem, ki ein machzor li'reiv. And something that's defective, it's not whole, it's in the compared to the whole, it's in the category of goyim, you know, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that it's unkosher. This doesn't mean that anybody who hears this shir will never again in their life be able to touch a piece of sliced bread. That's not the... But we're trying to make a point that wherever it is possible, a Jew is advised, you know, to have the sholem. And especially if you're talking about a sudas mitzvah, a bris, a chasana, you know, or a malava malka. Here again, a malava malka. There's a significance to eating a shol, to having a sholem, to making the hamotzi on a sholem, that kind of thing. So those people, ein manichin lechem sholem suda, they do not put whole kiyim prusais, but rather slice, kedarak yakam, like the goyim, because they want to show that they're taking themselves out of the Jewish customs. Asher etzleinu yesh chashivus lechem sholem l'berachas hamotzim. Because by us, by the religious Jews, there's a tremendous significance to making a hamotzi on the whole one, as is written in Shulchan Aruch. Ve'elu harishon megalim shekol mezaynoisam hu mezaynei degufa. Whereas these rishon, by them insisting on using sliced bread, that kind of thing, they're showing that their eating is not for the soul. Their eating is for the body. Bechinas achilas esav, just like esav. Shehu achilas harishonim she'en lehem shleimus. It's the eating of the rasha where he's not, his eating has no shleimus to it. He's never satisfied. Ki achilosom hu bechinas beten rishonim techser. His eating is in the category of that the stomach of the rasha is always empty, always incomplete, never complete, never whole. Ki ein lehem amuna, because they don't have faith. And therefore, they are not zoiche to have soul food, you know, which comes from emunah. Whereas a Jew who wants to be truly religious, he makes sure that his eating is soul food. He's eating for the neshama. Because we make sure that whenever we eat bread, we make a bracha on it. We make a bracha before, and we make a bracha after. Shekol ze moira al chidish olam, which is all, when we make a bracha, we're showing that we believe in Hashem. We believe that Hashem created the world. V'al kein medaktikim levorech al hasholem. And therefore, religious Jews prefer to make a bracha on a whole item. Shehu bechinas ki ein machser li reyov. As the pasuk says, those who have true fear of Hashem, they are never lacking. They're never incomplete. Bechinas mezoina den shmosa, which is the concept of soul food. As we said before, Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. May Hashem be blessed. With this, we complete halacha dalid of Netil Sedaim Lesuda. And Rav Nosson Zal writes here that halacha hey is part of Hilchas Beis HaKnesses Halacha Hei. If you look in volume Aleph of Likutei Halachos, all the way towards the end, you have Hilchas Beis HaKnesses. Over there in chapter 5, there's a paragraph there that talks about washing hands for bread. So Rav Nosson says that'll serve as chapter 5 over here. Baruch Hashem. Likutei Halachos, Netila Sidaim Lasuda, Halacha Vov. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Al pi ha-toiro, ki marachamim yenahagom, that this chapter on Likutei Halachos will be based on the chapter on Likutei Moran that's entitled Ki marachamim yenahagom, which is in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 7. It's one of the famous chapters. It's a long chapter on Likutei Moran that's discussed quite often in Likutei Halachos. Rav Nosson Zal begins, Ki tzrichim letaher koidem huachilo hayadayim daika. Before a person eats, they must purify the hands, specifically the hands. Ki kol avoidas sodom boilam hazeh hu laachlelo smolo biyamina. Kemuvan bezoyer hakodesh bekama mekoymois. Because the main objective in serving Hashem in this world is to blend the left into the right, to merge the left into the right and have it become part of the right, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh in many places. Ki kol achizas ha-sitra achra humi-sitra de-smolo, because the whole connection of the sitra achra is from the left side. The sitra achra is able to draw from the left side. We always refer to the left side as midas hadin, harshness, versus the right side, which is more kindness. And the main purpose for which a person has comes to this world is to subdue the Yetzirah. Ad sheyihye nichlal smoil b'yamin, to the point where the left becomes part of the right. V'yamin u'smoil heimechinas doreimala v'doreimata. Rav Nosson Zal explains, we know that the concept of the right and the left are also a concept of a higher level and a lower level. V'bechinas, as the pasuk says, Af yodi yosta oretz v'yemini tovcho shamayim. my left hand established the earth, and my right hand founded the heavens. So we see the right is above heaven, Shamayim, and the left is Eretz, below. Eretz v'shamayim hem b'chinas dorei mala v'dorei mata, v'zeh b'chinas guf v'nefesh. This also corresponds to body and soul. The soul is obviously the higher level, the body is the lower level, the soul is the right, the body is the left, and our mission in this world is to merge the body into the soul, to make the body subservient to the soul. Chomer v'tzura. This could also be compared to chomer means like a blob, an unformed blob. Tzura means where the item is formed into a formed. V'zeh, in other words, chomer is matter. Tzura is where the matter takes shape and form. V'zeh b'chinas olam hazeh v'olam haba. It's also the concept of this world and the next world. The next world is the higher level. This world is the lower level. Ki hakol b'b'chinas achas. These are all one. Ki haguf neged hanefesh hu b'chinas olam hazeh, b'chinas chomer, b'chinas dorei mata, b'chinas smoil. Because the body, compared to the soul, the body is considered this world. The body is considered matter, unfinished matter. The body is compared to dorei mata, the lower level, the left side. V'hanefesh, whereas the soul, who b'b'chinas olam haba, b'chinas tzura, b'chinas dorei mala, b'chinas yamin, whereas the soul symbolizes the world to come. It symbolizes the upper level. It symbolizes where matter already takes shape and form. It symbolizes the right side. V'hoikar sheyu nechlolam yachad kol b'chinas anal shem klal hoylam hoyselian b'tachtam b'tachtam b'elyin. And the main thing is for us to see to it to merge these two sides together, to see to it that they should be united and become one. Hainu sheyeh nichlal smoil b'yamin, that the left should be merged into the right. Ho'ilam haza bo'ilam haba, this world should be merged into the next world. Dorei mato em dorei mala, the lower level with the higher level. Shehu b'chinas klol yes haguf ba'nefesh, which is the concept of merging the body into the soul, uniting the body and soul. V'alidei ho'achilo mischaber ha'nefesh shem haguf. And we know that it's through eating that the body and the soul are united. Ki ho'achilo mechayes odom. Eating is what gives the person life. Shehuma sheha'nefesh mechaya haguf v'alidei ho'achilo. Which means that eating is associated with the soul breathing life into the body. Because this is how Hashem created the world. That it's through eating that the soul and body become united and the soul breathes life into the body. And that's the essence of a person being alive. Because we know that when a person dies, death is the separation of body and soul, where the soul becomes separated from the body. So therefore, life is when the soul and body are united. And we know that eating is the procedure which gives life to the person, gives energy and strength to the person. So eating is tied into bringing together body and soul. And this is why the first instruction that Hashem gave to Adam Rishon was related to eating, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Because the main tikkun of mankind was dependent on eating. Because good and bad are related to right and left, as is known. Hashem's original desire was that man should not eat a type of food which has good and bad in it. It's like the Eitz Hadas. Ki rotzo shekol achilos yihi rak mehoras rotzoin shenimshach miyam hachochma shemishom ikor shoresh haparnos v'chilo dekdusha. Shaydei ze ikor shleimus ha'eschabrus v'klol yishol dorimal av dorimato shem asogas ayi umolei kemavur batoranal. but rather Hashem wanted that Adam Rishon's eating should be an eating that comes from He'oras HaRotzon, an eating that comes from the highest place of holiness, which comes from the Yam HaChochma, the Sea of Knowledge, which is the source of Parnosa and Achila, through which is the main shlemus of the unity of upper and lower, of body and soul, which is the concept of uniting Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi and Maloy Choloretz Kevoidoi, as is brought in that term in the Kutimran. Shaydeze Iker Klolius Smol Biamin, which is the main thing that unites left to right. Vishom Sherish Beis Hayodayim Shal Yodom Nevru Shamayim Voretz Dorim Alav Dorimata. And that's the origin of where the two hands come together, which symbolize heaven and earth, right and left. Shehem b'chinas horamozim sheyesh b'yamachochma shehem ha'hizboinenus shebelim adakodesh shef shelavar b'feirish goymer noisa b'yadayim shehem b'chinas horamozim, which is tied into the concept of the hands, which Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter on Likutei Moran, that when a person is learning, there are certain things that cannot be given over verbally. And the only way that the rabbi conveys certain messages to the students is by the motions of his hands. His hands are giving off certain hints. The motions that a rabbi makes with his hands while he's learning, the hands give over certain remozim, certain hints, which complement the actual verbal learning. And this is what brings together the understanding of the son, S-O-N, and student, which is the concept of Aye and Mole, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in Likutei Moran in detail, that there are two different levels of understanding Hashem, which Rabbeinu Zal presents there correspond to the concept of a student and a son, corresponding to Ayem and Meloy Choloretz Kevoidoi, Shehem Bechinas Hasogas Dorim Alav Dorimata, which is the concept of the two different levels of understanding, an upper level and a lower level. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains.
Kize Yodua, it's a known item, Shehasogas Alakus Govoya Moid Moid, that understanding Hashem is something that's very, very, very high, very exalted. Kiles machshavot tfisa beklal, because the Zohar HaKadosh says the human mind is not capable of really understanding Hashem. Kiim lechol chad kefumanda mishar belibe, but rather each and every person, to the degree that they're able to fathom Hashem in their heart, to that degree they're able to have a certain limited perception of Hashem. And the highest level aspect of understanding Hashem is to be able to understand how these two opposites are actually one. The concept of Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi, where is Hashem, versus Meloy Choloretz Kevoidoi, Hashem is everywhere, to understand how that's actually one. And the only way that a person can conceive that is through the remozim, which are the hands of the Yama Chochma, the hints that are given over by the hands which draw from the sea of knowledge. And that's where all types of learning and all types of understanding in Torah and Yirat Shamayim all come from. Where all aspects of learning, of Torah, of understanding of Hashem, cannot be understood without the remozim, without the hints that the rabbi gives, which is symbolized by the motions of the hands, which he includes as part of the learning. Ki afilu b'chochmas ha-Torah, b'nigla, b'pshotim, b'gemara pirush tosfos, because Rav Nosson Zal says, even when it comes to learning the simpler levels of learning in Yiddishkeit, such as Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, that type of learning, it is impossible for a student to really understand completely the learning of Mishnayos, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, that kind of learning,
without the hand motions that the Rebbe gives together with the learning that he's doing. Which means those hand motions symbolize remozim, certain hints, certain things that the Rebbe doesn't spell out clearly, and yet he finds ways to transmit it. As we see in real life, you go into any legitimate yeshiva, and you'll see that the Rebbe, when he teaches Gemara Torah, he gives it over with hand motions. He'll make certain hand motions, which are part of the learning process. It's part of what gets the students to understand what he really wants to say, whether it's a question, whether it's an answer, whether it's a resolution of a problem, that kind of thing. Ma kol shkein the kol shkein bedarkei eitzos bavodas Hashem. How much more so when you get involved in higher levels of learning, when you get involved in a tzaddik giving a person advice pertaining to very important matters in life, you know, related to religion, how much more so there? Shehabaldovor choyter al hodom mo'oid mo'oid b'tachbulo yisein mispar b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, whereby the Satan tries to work against every person every single day with all kinds of tricks and wiles. Ukimat b'chol shov arega, every hour, every second, the Satan is playing with us. Whereby it's impossible for a Jew to remain steadfast and loyal in his religion without the Torah which we've received from our rabbis. And within the Torah, the most important part is the things that aren't necessarily spelled out clearly, but rather those items that are between the lines. You know, you have this expression in English that when you're reading something, it's not good enough if you can read what's written. You have to be able to read between the lines, to understand what's not being said, and yet is sometimes even more important than what can be said, or what is being said. V'al kein be'emes tzrichen l'chapes u'levakesh mo'oid Rebbe Amiti. Therefore, a Jew has a tremendous obligation to search and to seek out a true rabbi, Shekibel mi Rebbe Amiti, who received from another true rabbi, who's part of that chain, that holy chain that leads back to Moshe Rabbeinu, uledaberimoi ponim el ponim, and to be able to speak to that rabbi face to face, kedei lahovin horemozim shemarameis biyodov, to be able to understand the hints that the rabbi is showing even with his hands. Ad heichon lehischazek, how important it is for the person to be mechazek himself, to remain steadfast in his religion. Makol shkein bahasoga selukus, how much more so if the Rebbe is trying to transmit deep concepts of understanding of Hashem, how much more so how important it is to have the right rabbi and to have the ability to speak to him face to face and to see his motions, you know, to v'chol ze nimshach al yidei achila digdusho. And all of this is tied into eating, because eating is tied into the hands, which are the hints, the remozim of the Amah Chochma, which is this concept of Heora Sarotzin. And it's for this reason that Hashem wanted that Adam HaRishon should not eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, because the Eitz HaDa'as had good and bad in it. Because with Da'as, a person cannot understand. With rational thinking, a person cannot understand how Aye and Mole do not contradict each other, how Aye Mekoyim Kevoido and Molei Choretz Kevoido are really one. V'alkein Mishom Nechaz Toivorah. And therefore, because the Da'as is lacking, because Das can't give you everything, therefore in Das there is a place for Toiv and Ra to both have a hold. Ki ikar kol haklolius hu rak al yidei horotzoin, shenimshach al yidei remozim, shulamal lamal me'adas. Because the main place where this Aye and Molek come together is above Das, where you go to Rotzoin, which is higher than Das, which is tied into these remozim shiesh b'yam ha'chochma. Now, Adam HaRishon made a mistake. Adam HaRishon went ahead and he did eat from the Eitz HaDa'as. So he went against all of this. Al kein nigzar olav misa, and therefore the punishment was death. What is death? Shehu pirud bein hanefesh vaguf. Death is the separation between body and soul. V'hatikun, and the way that we rectify the pigam of Adam Rishon is al yedei ha-Torah shenosa Moshe Rabbeinu olav Hashem, through the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. She'ikra lichloil ha'olamos ha-tachtoim ve'alyoim ve'alyoim ve'tachtoim, whereby one of the main objectives of the Torah is to bring together the two worlds, the upper world and the lower world. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, mi olo shamayim ve'yorad. Who is it that went up to heaven and came back down? So we see that the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah was a concept of up and down, both of those two being involved. V'chein b'chol dor v'dor horepi u'emes u'b'chinas Moshe sh'oisek b'limud ha'kodesh hazeh lo'hor b'dorim alam v'dorim ata asogas ayeum olay l'choy lo'am yachad. And so too, in each and every single generation, the true rabbis are the ones who are like Moshe Rabbeinu. They're involved in teaching and shining into the upper level and the lower level. The concept of ayeum olay k'voida and maloy chol aretz k'voida, and to bring them together. And the main way that they do it is through their hints, which is what Rabbeinu Zal calls in that chapter in the Kutamran, the hands that are in the sea of knowledge. Rabbeinu Zal bases it on a pasuk. There's a pasuk, Ze hayom godol urechav yodayim. And that's where Rabbeinu Zal draws this terminology, yodayim sheyesh biyam hachochma. The hands are a Muslim, because sometimes if I don't want to say something to you, I make a motion with my hand, and that I'm hinting to you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Without saying it, without verbalizing it, I'm giving over a message, a remez. So the hands represent remozim. When the Pasuk says, Zeh hayom godoil urechav yodayim, yam godoil, the large sea, refers to the sea of knowledge. And there's yodayim in there, because within the sea of knowledge, one of the most important things is these yodayim, these remozim. Certain things that can't be spelled out clearly, they can only be given over through hints. And this is why it's so important for a person to purify his hands, specifically the hands, before eating. And the purification is done through water. This water comes from the Yam HaChochma, where the He'oras HaRotzon shines into it. And that's where these hands, which symbolize the hints, draw their power from. And if a person washes his hands before eating, then he's zoicha that his achila, his eating, is with holiness. That his eating should have the ability to unite body and soul. Shehu b'chinas kloli es dori malo v'dori mato, which is the concept of bringing together the upper level and the lower level. Kloli es smola b'yamina, bringing together the left and the right. Related to this, just to go off for a moment, there's a story in the Gemara about a rabbi who met an apikoros in the throne room of a king. And the apikoros made a certain motion, a hand motion, to the rabbi. So the rabbi made a certain hand motion back to the apikoros. So the king asked the rabbi, what did he mean by his motion? And the rabbi told him exactly what he was inferring. And the king turned to the other guy and said, and what did the rabbi mean by his hand motion? And the other person didn't know. So the king had him killed. He said, you don't even know. You're not even smart enough to understand the other one's motions, and you're making hand motions in the throne room of the king? And I believe, I don't remember whether it's the Mefarshim on the Gemara or Rabbeinu, somebody writes about this, that when you get into the throne room of the king, there's no words. It's only motions. And if you're very smart, you understand the hints. You know, like in the presence of the king, they don't talk. The king moves his finger, and the soldiers know what that means. You know, he just makes a move with his finger, that kind of thing. And it's only those who are really on a high level, they understand these remozim, these hints. they understand these secrets that are alluded to in the, that are symbolized by the hand motions. These remozim shebiyama chokma, as we said, the yodayim. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph Beis, v'zeh b'chinas netilas yodayim shachris kishakome me'ashena. This, with this, we could also understand the concept of washing our hands when we get up in the morning from sleep. Kishena echod mishishin b'misa, because the Gemara says that sleep is 1/60th of death. V'hisoyrus hashena hu b'chinas tchias ha'mesim. Waking up from sleep is a concept of the dead coming back to life. U'kemoi shemavorchem al zeh hamachzer neshamos levgorim esim. As we make a broch every morning, Hashem who returns the soul to the corpse. The body is like a corpse at night. V'al kein srichin letayer hayodayim b'mayim anal kishekomim e'ashena shubichines misa shubichines pirud ben anepesh v'aguf shemishom achizas ha'sitrach rakanam. And this is why when a person gets up from sleep, which is a concept of death, and death is a concept of separation of body and soul, that's why the person has to... And we said that when there's separation of body and soul, that's when the sitra achra is able to plug in. That's why a person has to wash it. V'alkein, b'shas shena, sitra achra, shari al yado yadayko. And this is why it's brought in Sforim that while a person is sleeping, there's a tuma that rests on the hands, specifically. And therefore, when a person gets up from sleep and the soul returns and becomes reattached to the body, which is the concept of uniting upper and lower, which is the concept of shlemus, al kein tzrichin oz letayer hayodayim b'mayim shenemshoch mebchinas ze hayom godol urechav yodayim. That's why at that time the person has to purify his hands with water, which is the concept of the great sea, urechav yodayim. Kishon ikar kvolius hoylamoy shehim b'chinas beis hayodayim kanal. Because that's the time when the two worlds come together, which are symbolized by the two hands, the upper world and lower world. Shaydeze ikar hatar of akdusha, which is what brings about purity and holiness, when there's a unity between upper and lower. Ki ikar shleimus hakdusha hu kishenechlolim hoylamos yachad. Because the main shleimus of holiness is when the worlds are united. Bebechinos hamavorim shom, as is explained in that chapter on the Likutei Moran. Shezeo bechinas kidushas hayodayim yeminu smoil shenechlolim yachad, which is the concept of the holiness of the hands, the right and left hand, and uniting them. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph Gimel, V'zeh b'chinas Purim, shehu lahachnia klipas homan amolek, shebechinas kfirus, kemuva b'dir razal. This is the whole concept of the holiday of Purim, where our main objective on Purim is to subdue the klipa of homan amolek, who symbolizes lack of faith in Hashem. V'ikra kfirus al yideya kashyos al sheroitzim lohovin b'seichel kvolius ha'olam haza b'olam haba eichim nechlolim ha'idei Torah senim v'sein ha'kdoshu. Whereby the main concept of Amalek promoting lack of faith in Hashem is by questioning and trying to understand, trying to rationalize the concept of this world and the next world, how they come together through the Torah and mitzvahs, trying to understand through rationale the Torah and mitzvahs. Shezeh yevshel lohovin b'seichel anoishi b'shum oifin, which is something that it's impossible for a person to understand through rationale. U'kemuvon b'asir ha'gdeish ha'netveset b'sefer sipurim ha'isiyas me'inyan ha'dredel, me'inyan ha'galgal ha'chizer, she'ikroi hoye b'beis ha'mikdosh, ayin shom. And as is explained in a paragraph in Sichos Haran, the Sefer Sichos Haran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, where Rabbi Nezal there discusses the dreidel, which has the four letters on it, Nun Gimel He Shin. And Rabbi Nezal explains over there that the way the dreidel turns and spins, that symbolizes the spinning of the worlds. And the worlds, the upper world and lower world, spinning and becoming united. Where the main place where upper and lower came together was in the Beis HaMikdash.
V'al kein hoyo hanes al yidei Mordechai. And therefore the miracle of Purim came about through Mordechai, shenosam leiv lehistakel al horemozim shemaram izlano ashen izborach b'chol eis. Mordechai was the one who stood to look at the hints that Hashem was giving him at all times and to be able to know how to read the message properly. Kemo shepirish Rashi al posek uma yeyosebo, as Rashi says in Megillas Esther, in Kapitel Beis, Posuk Yud Aleph. Rashi says over there, Ze echot mi beis tzadikim shem David u'Mordechai, that Mordechai Tzadik was one of two tzadikim who were given hints by Hashem regarding the Yeshua. The words of Rashi. We'll read the words of Rashi. Rashi says inside, Ze echot mishnei tzadikim sheniten lahem remez Yeshua. Mordechai Tzadik was one of two tzadikim who was given a hint by Hashem of a Yeshua that was going to be coming during a difficult time. David or Mordechai. David HaMelech was the first and Mordechai Tzadik was second. David shenemar gamet soari gamet sadoiv hiko avdecho. David HaMelech, who said, I succeeded in striking the lion and the bear, in defeating a lion and a bear. Omar, David HaMelech said, Loibo liyodi dover ze elolis mecholov lihilochim im ze. I know why Hashem made it, that I had a confrontation with a lion and a bear, because Hashem wanted to show me that just as I could defeat the lion and the bear, I have the ability to defeat Goliath also. That I shouldn't be afraid when I encounter Goliath, that how in the world am I going to be able to knock this guy out? That's why Hashem sent me a message through the encounter with the lion and the bear, that I was able to encounter something which most people could never come out of alive and defeat him. So too I have the ability to defeat Goliath, who was one of the most powerful klipos, you know, one of the most powerful anti-Jewish forces in the history of the world. V'chein Mordechai Omar, Lo yiro letzadekes zu shetilokach lemishkav orel elo shasido lokom lohishio l'Yisrael. Mordechai HaTzadik, when he saw this happen, when he saw Esther Hamalka, whom he knew better than anybody else how great a tzadekes she was. He lived with her, and he knew that she was the ultimate in a tzadekes. And when he saw that they came to take her away, and that they took her into the palace of Ahasuerus, he understood right away, ha-ha, they think, the Sitra Achra thinks this is a defeat for the Jews. They don't know that here comes number one paratrooper who's going behind enemy lines. She's being taken into the palace of Ahasuerus, and in there, she's going to make the greatest upheaval in the history imaginable. She's going to do more than a 500,000-man army can do. Inside the palace, she's going to put Haman in the garbage and destroy all of Ahasuerus' anti-Jewish plans and get the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash to continue, everything that she accomplished. Mordechai knew how to read the signs. He was given a remez, and he took the remez the right way. Lefikoch hoya mechazer lodas maya b'soifo. That's why Mordechai HaTzadik stood by the palace and he kept walking back and forth there to see how this thing was going to evolve. He knew that something big was about to happen, and he was just watching it, you know, to watch it unravel. Ukamay Shekosav, as it says over there, Ein Esther Magedes Moiladeto, that she refused to reveal where she came from. Umordechai Yoshev, and it says there, Mordechai sat by the palace. Hamaram Zalkach, and Rashi says over there that he stood by the palace, hinting to her and giving her encouragement not to reveal where she comes from until the right time. Was not to reveal that she's a Jew, etc., etc., to keep it a secret until the timing would be right. Rashi says over there in Pasuk Chof, Lefi Shemorda, that she didn't reveal her birthplace. Lefi Shemorda Chayeshe Bishar HaMelech, HaMezarzo VeHamaramzo Alkach. He was Mezarez her, and he was Merames to her. You know, watch it, don't reveal before the right time. V'alkein kol kavanosam lohora shelach Ahasuerus v'Haman, kol kavanosam lohora shelach Ahasuerus v'Haman hoyo levatel avoides Beis HaMikdash.
And Rav Nosenzal says it's for this reason that Haman and Achashverosh's main focus was to try to block and to undermine the work of rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash. That was the plan. Kemoi Shom Razal, as is written in the Gemara Medrashim, Kemoi Shekosu B'Kisvei HaRizal. And as the Arizal explains, that's really what Haman's objective was. Haman knew that it was time for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt, and that was what he was looking to eliminate. Ki Iker Klolius Elyon B'Tachtoin Hoya B'Beis Hamikdash. Because the main place where the upper and lower came together was in the Beis Hamikdash. Alidei HaKorbonos Shemechaprim. Through the sacrifices which atoned for the Jewish people, where it's brought that the Reach Nichoyach, a very sweet aroma of the sacrifices, went up to heaven. And it says over there that Kaviyochel, the Shechina came down in the form of a lion, you know, to grab the Korban, you know, to show that it was consuming the Korban. So that's this concept of the lower ones going up, you know, something from below going up and something from above coming down. Alkain, his Kemashikosu Bahasicho Hanal, as is discussed in the chapter and paragraph in Sicho Saran, where Abenazal discusses the dreidel and this whole issue of upper and lower worlds coming together. Alkain, his Kano, the Hisgaru, Beyoise, Bebeis Hamikdash. And it's for this reason that Haman and Achashverosh were most jealous and most angry about the Beis Hamikdash. That was their main problem. Because the Beis Hamikdash is the place where upper and lower come together. Therefore, the Beis Hamikdash has the ability to affect the greatest tikkun, and they wanted to undermine its rebuilding. Paragraph Dalet, V'zeh b'chinas sudas Purim u'mishloach monos. This is why we have the special meal on Purim, and this is why we send food gifts to each other on Purim. Ki achshav ho'achila b'kdusha. Because now that we succeeded on Purim and we overcame Haman, we overcame Achashverosh, Purim symbolizes a time of holy eating. The Bechina Seora Sarotzoin, where the eating is with Hera Sarotzoin. Kinim Sheches Mehara Mozemanal, because the eating on Purim draws from those hints. We said the miracle of Purim was related to these remozim, that Mordechai was merames to Esther, and Mordechai was given remozim by Hashem to know that something big was going to happen. V'alkein kol echod sholeach l'chaveiroi monos misudas Purim. And this is why each and every Jew sends his fellow Jew gifts from the Purim meal. That's what's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that the shalach monos should be things for the meal, or from the meal generally. Today it's gotten into all kinds of other things. People send all kinds of wacko stuff, you know, that's not related to a meal in any way. All kinds of different things. But I'm saying basically, the basic mitzvah was that, to send somebody chalas or fish or meat or that kind of thing, you know, things related to the Sudas Purim. Kedei l'rameis lo yalidei zeh ho'ramozim sheyesh b'yam ha'chokma. By sending your friend food from the Sudas Purim, you're sending him these remozim shabiyama chokhmah, you're sending him this achila digdusha, which is plugged into these yodaim shabiyama chokhmah, which is plugged into these remozim. Ki kvar mavura batoironal, shehu ikar, shekolodom yedabarim chaveiroi b'ir ha-shamayim, v'yoreloi v'yikabalmenu, heoras ha-rebianal, shemeir b'ben v'talmid, shemeloichol arz kavoidoi, v'ashem itonu. Because Rav Nosenzal says, it was already explained in that chapter on Likutei Moran, that one of the most important things is that each and every single Jew speak to his friends about serving Hashem, and he shine into his friend that which he received from his rabbi, the rabbi who teaches to his children and to his students, the concept of Meloich L'Oretz Kevoidah, and Hashem is with us. V'ikr Shleimus Eras HaDa'as V'alidei HaRamozim. And we said the main Shleimus of Das is when the Das has with it the hints, those things that can't be spoken openly, those things that can't be said clearly. Shemehem haparnosu digdusha shel Yisrael. And it's from those remozim, it's from those yodaim shebiyam ha-chochma that parnosa comes from. Shehi b'chinas mon, b'chinas loinitna toira el aloich le'amon. As the Gemara says, the Torah was given to those who eat mon. Shenem arboi ki lo yodu mahu. About the mon, it's written, they didn't know what it was. They didn't know, meaning the mon was above das. To know is das. The mon was kiloyodu. It was a level above das, which is rotzon. The mon symbolized this achila the dusha, which comes from rotzon. Bechinas tachlis hayidia sherloi neida, which is the highest level of knowledge, which is the realization that we don't know. Rak b'derech remozim yecholim l'rameis l'chol echad kviyarkoi tachlis hayidia zois. It's only through hints that we have the ability to hint to people to give over certain messages. Shehu hasogas Moshe. This is the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shubchinas horebi oemes. Shubchinas mon sheyorad b'schus, which is the concept of mon, which the Gemara says we receive the mon b'schus Moshe Rabbeinu specifically. Shehu yoidea lohoyer tachlis haidea zois haidea ramozim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the rabbi who has the abilities, qualified to give over these ramozim, besides the actual learning, the hints that are above the actual learning. V'zeu b'chinas mishloach monos ish l'reyeu. This is the concept of the food gifts that we send to each other on Purim. Shesholeach kol echad l'chaveroi monos. Each person sends his friend a gift. Shehem minei achilo shel sudas Purim, which are food items from the sudas Purim. Shebohem meluboshim haramozim anal. In those food items is hidden these ramozim. Each one of us is sending to the other these ramozim that we have, that each one of us received from the tzaddik. Kedei sheyoyer kol echad b'chaveroi hadas hakodesh anal. So that each one of us is giving over to his friend a degree of das that he has. Aridei haramozim, through these hints. Because again, the suda purim, the achila on Purim is achila digdusha. And we said achila digdusha is an achila that comes from above das. The achila of Eitz Hadas Toivara was an achila was not from Kiddusha, that was Pagam. Above that is Rotzoin. And Rotzoin is Ramozin. These Ramozin Shiryam HaChachma are tied into Rotzoin. That's the achila of Purim, because we saw that on Purim, the miracle came about through these Ramozin, through Esther being hinted, through Mordechai being hinted to by Hashem as to what was about to happen. Esther being hinted to by Mordechai not to reveal anything before the right time, that shows us that the miracle of Purim is this concept of He'ora Sarotzoin, which is tied into Achila Degdusha, which is the Sud of Purim. And by each one of us sending it to our fellow Jew, we're sending to our fellow Jew part of our He'ora Sarotzoin, part of the Ramozim Shabiyam HaChokhma that I understand that I'm giving over to my friend, that kind of thing. Paragraph Hey. And this is why the downfall of Amalek came about through the hands of the tzaddik, of Moshe Rabbeinu. As the pasuk Shem B'chinas HaRemozim, we said the hands represent these hints that are given with the hands specifically. B'chinas, as is written in the Chumash, V'hoyo kasher yorim Moshe yodoy v'govar Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands up, the Jews would win. The Jews would start being victorious. When his hands came down, Amalek was gaining on the Jews. V'dor shurazal shekol zman sheYisrael mistaklim klapi ma'ala. The Gemara says, what does this mean? Lifting up his hands. But lifting up his hands was Moshe Rabbeinu was hinting to the Jews, look up. His lifting his hands up was pointing heavenward. That as long as the Jews were focused in the realization that where is their strength coming from? Where is their salvation coming from? It's coming from above, from Hashem. That's when they were victorious over Amalek. How did Moshe Rabbeinu show them that? Through his hand motions, by lifting his hands up. Shemoshe also melchomem Amalek, shembechinas hakfiros v'akushi shel machakrim, ayde haromas yodov daika. Moshe Rabbeinu did battle against Amalek. Amalek is the symbol of atheism, the symbol of philosophy, asking questions against Hashem, challenging Hashem, faith in Hashem through questions. Moshe Rabbeinu did battle against him with his hands. Shehem horemozim anal, which are the hints. Shemarameis liYisrael biyodov agdoishim sheistaklu klapei ma'ala, whereby Moshe Rabbeinu hints to the Jews with his hands that they should look heavenward. V'yizkru v'yavinu meirochoi kol anisim anaflois anorei shos Hashem izborchi mo'em, and the Jews should remember all the great miracles and wonders that Hashem did for them in the past, the chol ha-hisnoitzitzu selakul shekvar nitka balipom al yodoy, and all the awareness of Hashem that has already been placed into the hearts of the Jews through Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo yistaklu klal ala kashyos v'chakiros v'kfiros sheroitz lachnis b'leiv.
And the Jews should ignore the questions and the paradoxes and all kinds of things that the philosophers, Amalek, is trying to inject into their hearts.
Ki ein hazman maspik letartzon. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in the Kutemran, there are certain questions where there isn't enough time to answer them.
Lahavdil, sometimes in a classroom situation, a teacher is giving a class, the class is 45 minutes. And towards the end, like 5 minutes before the end of the class, somebody raises his hand and he says, "Teacher, I want to ask a question." Blah, blah, blah.
The teacher says, "That's a good question, but you need to know that in order to answer that question, it would take me 25 minutes. And we only have 5 minutes left, so we can't address it now."
Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in the Kutemran that you should know that there are certain questions where there isn't enough time in the world to answer them. Even though there is an answer, but this world which is bound by time, this world which is limited, within the limited human understanding that we have in this world, we can't answer the question. It doesn't mean that the question doesn't have an answer. The question has an answer. Our human minds are limited. We can't understand properly the answer. Therefore, better not to delve into those kind of questions. Don't get into it, because you're getting into a pit that you can't climb out. You're climbing into a ditch that you can't climb out of. That kind of thing.
And therefore, the Mishnah says that at times, a fence around Chochma is silence.
The fence around Chochma is the crown. Chochma is the head. A fence that's worn around the head is the Keser. Keser symbolizes those questions, those things that are too deep to delve into. It's above Chochma. And there the solution is quiet. Don't ask no questions. There it's better not to ask.
Shekol ze bechinas remozemanal, shetzorech bechol pam horav lishtoik,
where there are times that the rabbi has to be silent.
Rak hatalmidim hachateitzim be'emes, yovinu remozim harbe alidei shtikosoi utnuois avagdoshim.
And it's only the students who are really sincere, they'll get the message. From the rabbi's silence, they'll understand what he's trying to convey. From his silence, and through his hints,
Shehim b'chinas yodayim, which are this concept of the hands.
It's interesting that Rav Nosson Zal writes that the night before Rabbeinu Zal passed away, Rabbeinu Zal was staring at him and looking at him, and he writes that he felt it with his look, with his silence. He was giving over, he was transmitting a lot of messages. There was a lot being given over him, just with the silence alone. And here again, there are certain times that a student is that you have that concept of a beckoning, somebody's yearning, they want an answer to something. They're crying out and they can't even put it to words. And sometimes a parent or a rabbi looks at the child, or a rabbi looks at the student, and with the look, they're transmitting a message that I can't answer you right, I can't explain it to you, I can't, the time will come that you'll understand, that kind of thing. Sometimes a child wants to ask a parent a question, why are you doing this? Why are you handling this a certain way? And it's something which the child isn't mature enough to understand. The parent can't explain it to the child at that point in his life. It's only something which 10, 20 years later, the child get old enough, they'll understand that the parent had good reason for why they did what they did, that kind of thing. And that kind of thing sometimes can only be transmitted by a look or by a motion of the hand. Leave it alone for now. That leave it alone for now says a lot. It says, don't think that I'm doing this because I haven't thought it through. I thought it through very, very well. And there is an answer to your questions. But right now, if I put it into words, it's going to make things worse. Better to leave it alone, that kind of thing. And especially in Yiddishkeit, there is this kind of thing. When it comes to certain deep questions about Hashem, a person has to know, Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in that chapter in the Kutemran, that you have to know where to stop. Where to stop and where to leave it alone.
Paragraph Vav. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Uboze tovin remozim ktsas, ועניין מה שכוסוב בליקוט אמרן תנינה סימניים דלת אחר פורים קוירן פרשס פורה.
That related to what we've been discussing till now, you'll be able to see some hints that are related to what Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran in the second half, chapter 74, where Rabbeinu Zal says there that we know that immediately after the holiday of Purim comes Parshas Poro, where they read the beginning of Parshas Chukas as the Haftorah that Shabbos. Ki mitchilo hu pur. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there because the Shekhinah in the beginning is in the category of Purim, because the Pasuk says in Megillah Esther that they call this holiday Purim al shem hapur, because of the lots that Haman drew to determine which month was going to be the month in which Chas V'Shalom was going to try to destroy the Jews. So first it starts out as Pur, Pev of Reish, and from Pur it becomes Para. And Rabbeinu Zal has an explanation over there. Gam koydem loze shamanu mi piv hakodesh shebepurim hayo isek lesaken chet machlokes korach. And prior to that, we heard from Rabbeinu Zal that on Purim he was involved in trying to make a tikkun for the machlokes of korach. Vomar, and Rabbeinu Zal said shehu soid muflag moid moid, that is a very deep secret related to this, related to the connection between Purim and Korach. V'horemez b'posuk v'im mipa'as ponov yemarei t'roshel. And Rabbeinu Zal said there's a hint to this in a posuk in the Torah where it writes about the different types of people that have leprosy. And it says by one of them that if from the corners of his face his head will become such and such, so the first letters of v'im mipa'as ponov yemarei t'roshel spell the word Purim. And the pasuk continues over there, kereyachu. The person is considered bald, and the laws are such and such. So we see that the pasuk makes a connection between Purim and kereyach, kuf reish ches, which is korach. Ayin shom b'hasichos. Take a look over there in Sichos Haran, in Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, where it discusses what Rabbeinu Zal said at the time. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains V'ho'inyen muvon k'tzas me'rochoik al pima di isa b'psikta muvo b'alko toruveni b'parshas chukas v'ze l'shoina. What Rabbeinu Zal said could be understood a little bit based on what's written in a medrash, and it's also brought in the Sefer Yalko Toruveni, which is a collection of medrashim in Parshas Chukas. This is the wording of the Medrash. Lomo nemra parshas pora achar machlokes korach. The Medrash asks, why is it that parshas pora, which is the beginning of Chukas, is written right after the parsha of Korach in the Torah? The Medrash answers, lefi shehakohosim hitoaru loseis haroin bris Hashem, because we know that the people from the family of Kohos, they were the ones who were purified to have the privilege of carrying the Aron, carrying the Holy Ark, while the Jews were traveling in the desert. The Levim were the ones who served, and in the Levim there were three different families, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari, and the different types of work were divided among those three families. So Kohos were the ones who were responsible for carrying the most special vessels of the base of the Mishkan. And we know that Korach comes from Kohos. So the Medrash says there that the people from the family of Kohos were purified to enable them to carry the Holy Ark. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Bakosef Yiso, with their shoulder they will carry. Omar Korach, so Korach said, Loi dai shehitziu oisim miklal kohuna umatonois. It isn't bad enough that this Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen are keeping me out of being a Kohen. Can't be a Kohen. Can't get these special gifts that all the Kohanim get. Elo shegilach roishi. But on top of that, they decided to shave my head v'oso isi sochal and make me into a fool by shaving my head, shaving off all the hair of my head. Miyad niskane l'moshe la'arer. And immediately, that prompted Korach to decide to go to battle against Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Medrash says, "V'hu lo yodo." But Korach didn't know something. Korach didn't know
that choik para aduma tihye kapora al Yisrael, that the law of para aduma would be an atonement for the Jewish people. This is the wording in the Medrash. And a person says, what does this have to do with anything? How do you understand this? Vehu plia. This is wondrous. Sometimes it's hard to understand what connection the Medrash is making between them caring and the shaving of the head and being a fool, and Paraduma is going to fix all of this. Ma inyan choyk Paraduma la machloikas Korach. What's the connection between the law of Paraduma, which is a secret, we don't know the reason behind it, we don't have any rational reason behind it, and the battle of Korach? Ach al pi divrei Admor Zalanal rimeiz lanu shiesh lem kesher. However, based on Rabbi Nizal's words, Rabbi Nizal hinted to us that there is a definite connection between Korach and Purim and Paraduma. Ki bepurim tikein machlekes Korach. Because we know that it was on Purim that Rabbi Nizal was involved in effecting a tikkun, a correction for the machlekes of Korach. Umipurim nase b'chinas paraduma. And we know that from Purim we go straight into Para Aduma. The next thing after Purim is Parshas Para. Nimtza shebi'er lanu sheparaduma hu tikkun machlekes Korach. So therefore Rabbi Nizal was obviously showing us that Para Aduma is part of the tikkun for the machlekes of Korach. V'hu inyan psikta hanal. And that's obviously tied into this medrash that Rav Nosson Zal just quoted. Paragraph Zayin, Ach soydo inyan bevadai yev shelohovin. To understand the true secret of all of this is something that's impossible for us to understand. Ki hu soyd paraduma, because it's the secret of the red heifer, the paraduma, shehu choyk ne'elam v'sosomoyd, which is something that's nobody understands. Because it's about this law, specifically about the secret of Paraduma, that even Shlomo HaMelech said, I thought I was smart, but yet I see it's very far from me. Wisdom is very far from me. He was referring to the secret of the Paraduma that he realized he does not understand. He doesn't know. So on one hand, to understand the Paraduma is obviously something that's way beyond us. Ach afal pikein kol ma shef shlimtsay ezer mozen boze mkhuyovem onu lachter velimtsay. However, despite that, whatever degree of understanding we can get regarding paraduma, we have an obligation to investigate and to learn and to study and to try to understand. Ki gam bechol asforim agdoshim lo ibiaru lanu ze hasoid shel para, v'afal pikein gilu lanu kamar mozen basoid anel mazem. Because throughout all the sforim, they do not reveal to us the total secret of Paraduma. However, they do reveal certain interesting concepts and certain things to give us ideas regarding the depth of this item of Paraduma. So therefore, we have a responsibility also to search and to delve into this and to try to understand it. Ki kvar mavur sheikra tikkun shebishvilo nivra hadam hu la'achlo smala b'yaminu kanal. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to embark on his explanation of all of this. Because we said previously, a bit earlier, that one of the most important purposes for which man was created was to merge the left and the right, to unify the left and the right. V'zeh hoyo kol pegam Korach. And this was the mistake of Korach. This was the destruction that Korach caused. Kamei shekasa b'tikunim u'b'zohar HaKadosh, as is written in Tikunei Zohar and in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Korach boy la'achlefo smolo b'yamina. Korach wanted to cause a revolution. He wanted to exchange the left for the right. He wanted the left to be on top and the right on bottom, instead of the opposite, which is the way it has to be. Ki Korach hoyo Levi. Korach, we know, came from the tribe of Levi. Shehu b'chinas smoil b'kdusha. Levi symbolizes the left side in holiness. Kiyodua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah, that Kohen, we have the Klal Yisrael, is made up of three divisions. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. All three together make up a complete vessel. In Hebrew, the word kli, keli, is Chof Lamed Yud. Chof is Kohen, Lamed is Levi, the Yud is Yisrael. Now,
The proper, in order for these three to function properly and to succeed, they got to be in order. And the order is, Kohen is numero uno, Kohen is number one, then comes Levi, then comes Yisroel. Yisroel is a blend of Kohen and Levi. Kohen is chesed, Kohen symbolizes kindness. Avram Avinu, who is the symbol of kindness, is referred to as a Kohen in the Torah at times. Levi represents harshness,